to all the ladies out there, now you can see why we hang on to all those extra scraps of wood and all those tools, just in case we need that exact same amount of wood and everything like that. Well, to all of our dads out there, happy Father's Day to you. Raise your hand if you are a dad. Raise your hand. Yeah, happy Father's Day to you. Well, it is really the greatest privilege in life to be a father, if the Lord allows you that opportunity. And I, for the dads in here especially, and for the moms, I want you to think back to that time when you became a mother, when you became a father. So Jack was the one who made me a father first, and really just an amazing experience, right? An amazing time, right? That announcement when you're first pregnant and you tell the parents or you tell the grandparents that you're going to have a child, and that joy that radiates. And just to see, and now that my kids are a little bit older, just to see where the Lord has taken them and as he's directing them and guiding their steps. And just for Sarah and I to be able to watch that and see that. And when I think of Jack, you know, my son Jack is incredibly driven. He's wise financially. He's calculated in the things that he does. And I love to see the man that he is becoming now. And then for Lydia, precious little Lydia, she's so amazingly sweet at 16 years old, going into her senior year of high school, and just a few moments old right there. It's tough. This is not easy to share, but Lydia, you know, the whole world is her stage. If you know anything about Lydia, she loves acting, she loves drama, she loves the joy of life, she loves just simply loving life, and she does not march to the beat of others, she marches to her own beat, and I love that so much about her. And this is Holly. I can tell that's Holly. I don't know if you can, but I can totally tell that's Holly. That face is so Holly as well. My Holly has an incredibly soft heart. She's a great girl. She has a rough and tumble exterior, but she has one of the softest hearts if you get to know her. She loves to have fun. She loves Morgan Wallen. She loves country music. She loves Jesus. And she's just been gifted athletically with an immense talent. And I love watching her compete. I love watching her play. Just such a fun, sweet girl. And then little Bethany. Little Bethany was born at home, like Holly. That was not on accident. That was on purpose. But Bethany's incredibly tender-hearted as well, and just compassionate, very sympathetic, empathetic at times, and just so incredibly sweet. And if you know my kiddos, I hope that's the same way that you see them, because they are just incredibly, incredibly fun, you know, to be around. And, you know, I've shared this journey with my wife, who's an amazing woman, who's very tender, who's very loving, who's very consistent in the things that she's wanted to do. And it even began when we had our first child. It was, all right, so are we going to go to the hospital and get a doctor? No, I'm not planning on doing that. Oh, okay. So we're going to find out if it's a boy or a girl? No, I don't plan on doing, okay, all right. So I'm like, all right, how are we going to know? How's this going to work out? But she was very calculated in how she wanted to do that. And it's been great these last 18 plus years of having kids to see and watch my wife and I work together and helping train them up in the way they should go, right? And parenting is not for the faint of heart. We know this. And true parenting requires devotion, right? It requires dedication. It requires praying for your kids, those tough teenage years that they go through, those rough sleepless nights, those first few days, weeks, months of their lives, and changing hundreds if not thousands of diapers. But it comes also with a determination, right, that our kids aren't going to win. We cannot let our kids win, especially when we're training them, especially when they're young. But there's just a ton of other host of adjectives that I could use, but parenting is such an amazing thing. And here's one more picture, and this is me with the little saw there cutting down a Christmas tree. Probably sometime in late October, early November in Iowa, probably about 1986, 85, I would imagine. But that's my dad right there, the man in the plaid shirt. And I'm thankful that he's still alive, and I'm thankful that I get the opportunity to talk with him multiple times a week. You know, he's a great dad, has been to my brother Ben, my older brother Ben, he's the one in the picture. My sister either wasn't born or was too young yet to be in this picture, but my sister Paige as well. And just great to have moments and opportunities with my dad. So as we get into the word this morning, I really want to focus our attention in Ephesians 6. And if you have your scriptures, you can look at that. You can look at the screen as well. But I want to look at Ephesians 6, and this is what it says. And I'm going to break this message down into a portion for children, portion for fathers, and for the church as well. So hopefully everybody can take a little bit of something from this message. But this is what Paul writes in Ephesians 6. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy life on the earth." You know, as I look at this passage, right, we all have a responsibilities. Children, you have a responsibility to your parents. Fathers, mothers, you have a responsibility to your children as well. And the truth is, right, we don't have to teach our kids to disobey, do we? We really don't. About 18 months in or about 2 years old, you know, they know how to be sneaky. They know how to do things their own way. They know how to be disobedient. They know how to run when you're trying to come get them and they run away from you. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly they're not supposed to put their hand in the cookie jar and grab another cookie out of that container. They know how to throw tantrums, and they know how to begin the manipulation game. But as fathers, mothers, as parents, we have an obligation. Really, we have a responsibility to teach them to obey. They're not just naturally going to obey their parents. We have to take the time and to teach them as well. And really, we know, what are the consequences if we don't do this? You see it every day in society. You see entitled young men and women who think the world owes them everything. It's awful. We see bratty, snotty behavior. That's awful. Nobody wants to be around that type of behavior. We see an irreverence for God and others, a self-sufficiency, I can do it on my own. Really just unpleasant people to be around. So when I say that parenting and fathering isn't for the faint of heart, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not easy, but it is one of the greatest blessings that come from the Lord as well. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to help our kids understand how to honor their parents and honor one another. We're trying to help our kids learn from us, which is why we have an obligation. We're on display 24/7, 365 before our children. Dads, you are on display 24/7, 365 before your children. And we want them to learn and to understand what it means to respect others as well. And Paul gave us the secret sauce. He gave us the reason for this. Why? So that it may go well with you and you may, you know, it's almost like, what is that? Is it Star Trek? Live long and prosper? It's almost like that is what it's like. So that it may go well with you and you may live a long life as well. We all know that it's better when our children obey. We all know it's better when we do the right things. We know that it's better when we obey the laws that are in society that are there for us. We know those things are true. And so for you children, us children in this room, when we think back, no matter how old we are, does your dad know how you feel about him? Does your dad know how you feel about him? Have you talked to your dad about how it's gone and how he raised you? Do you respect your dad? Do you honor his wishes in the household as well? Children need to learn to obey. Fathers, we need to learn how to teach, how to train our children well. Well, moving on in verse 4 of the text, this is what Paul goes on to say. He says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Do not exasperate your children. Are your children dads? Are your children exasperated by how you raise them? Are you so thumbed down on them that they feel like they have no wiggle room whatsoever? Are you making every decision for them and controlling every thought that they have? How do we exasperate our kids? Well, oftentimes we're overbearing, aren't we, dads? We want them to do things exactly the way that we did it. But remember, God has called them for their own journey. Sometimes, and this is probably more often than we like to admit, we're distant. As men, we're distant. We look at raising children as something that moms do and domestically at home, and we end up being distant from our kids. But we justify it by saying we're working long hours to provide for our family, but in reality, we can be distant from our kids. We can be cold and unaffectionate to our kids. Dads, let me ask you a question. Have your kids ever seen you cry? Have your kids ever seen you hug your wife? Have your kids ever seen you kiss your wife? Have your kids ever seen you holding hands with your spouse, with your wife? Have they seen these things? Because that's warm and inviting. Oftentimes, men are seen as aloof, right? And we have a critical attitude. And it's not surprising, right? If you can kind of guess my generation when you see the pictures I put up here. But when you think about some of these TV characters that we've been grown up with and lived with for many, many years, I think the Simpsons are like 80 years old now, if I'm not mistaken. But Homer Simpson, dolt, the biggest doofus dolt that you'll ever find. He's just a goofball, right? He never does anything right. Al Bundy, right? Ed O'Neill never did anything right. Just a goofball, came home from selling shoes, put his hand down his pants and sat there and let his family go and do anything they wanted. Now, Tim Allen, I like Tim Allen. But even him, he was a goofball, you know, and how his wife in the show was the one who did a lot of parenting with the kids. But the examples that we watch, the examples that we see, paint the picture that men are goofballs. But I think Scripture has a complete opposite view of what our role is as fathers. What's our goal of parenting? Right? Our goal of parenting is to launch children out of the nest. Dads, we've got about 18 years with our kids before they go out. And some of us dads in here, our kids are a little bit older. Some of us, our kids are really young. And some of us, we're still waiting for that first child. But do understand that our goal is to launch them out of the nest and for them to be successful. Not to do things our way, but to be successful. Our job is to point them as arrows to God's target. Are we intentional about that? We're to leave them an example to follow as they leave home. You know, I heard a pastor one time that said this. He said, and nobody wants this to happen, right, in the church, but if my kids decide not to follow Jesus someday, I want them to know exactly what they're walking away from. Does that make sense? Nobody wants their children not to walk with the Lord, but if they don't walk with the Lord, I want them to know exactly what they're walking away from. In other words, dads, are you setting the example at home about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you honest? Are you filled with integrity? Is your character and your reputation above reproach? Are you leading your family well? Are your kids seeing you in church? Are your kids seeing you praying? Are your kids seeing you reading God's word? Do they know that you care about the things that matter most to God? I remember in college, I was at a Thursday night gathering. It was called Basic at my university, Brothers and Sisters in Christ. And I remember the speaker got up and he said, I can't wait to leave my most prized possession to my kids. I cannot wait to do that. I'm like, okay, cool. What's that, like a 67, you know, car or something like that, or a 69 Camaro? What is that? And he held up a Bible. He said, this is God's word, and I've invested my life reading this word and unpacking it and trying to understand it, and I can't wait to leave this to my children. I didn't even have kids at the time, and I thought, that's pretty awesome. But that was his most treasured possessions that he wanted to leave to his kids. Well, what does God's word say about how we should live? Rather than being distant, aloof, and cold, men, how should we live? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not soon depart from it. Do you see how it says train? That first word is a verb. It's an action word. We have a responsibility. You know, the problem oftentimes in society is it's way too easy to have children. It's far too difficult to train them up in the way that they should go. But if you don't, you can bet and know exactly how that's going to go. Dads, may I encourage you to be authentic in your walk with Christ. May I encourage you to train up your kids in the way that they should go. Or how about this? Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, it says this, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach..." Did you notice that? They shall be on your heart. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Men, look at that screen for just a second. When is your moment to not be authentic and genuine and real in your walk with Christ? The answer is never. The answer is never. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that there's not burdens that surround you with life and work and jobs and promotions and demotions and losing a job and all this and that. But even through that, we are commanded to teach these things, meaning God's word, to our children and to live it out and to apply it. You know, Sarah knew somebody when she was in a MOPS group, her mother's a preschoolers group. She had a friend when we lived in Lakeland about 20 years ago now. But the mom was Mormon, actually, and the husband was agnostic, but the mom was coming to this mother's a preschool group. And this was going to be their philosophy of how they raised their children. You ready? "When our child turns 18 years old, we will then let them decide what they want to believe and if they want to go to church." That was their plan for raising their children. Now, I pray and I hope that that has changed and that it did change. I don't know if it did because we moved and left the area. But if your philosophy is to, when they turn 18, they can decide if they want to go to church. We're not going to go to church. We're not going to be involved in any of that. But at 18, they can make that decision because then they'll make the right decision for them. Children don't need to learn how to obey or to disobey. They already do that. They need to be trained. Men, you have the responsibility to lead your house. Right? In 3 John 1, verse 4, this is what John wrote. He said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Do you catch what he's saying there? So this is the U.S. Open today, right? For those of you that follow golf, I love golf. But like if I won the U.S. Open today and won $4.2 million and my name went down in the annals of being one of the greatest golfers of all time to win the U.S. Open, John says, that's not it. If I made a hole-in-one at Pebble Beach 7th hole, that iconic hole right by the ocean, and I can live with that for the rest of my life, that's not the greatest joy. If I got the dream job that I always wanted that came with more money than I could ever know what to do with, that's not the greatest joy. If I got to meet Morgan Wallen at a concert and hang out with him for the day, that's not the joy, the biggest joy of life. If I was able to retire at 45 years old and play golf for the rest of my life, that's not the greatest joy. But yet, that's often how we live our lives. As if the greatest joys in life are pursuing our own passions and doing our own things. Men, especially, listen to what John says. I have no greater joy, no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, let me just say this real quickly. If that's not you right now, pray and ask God that it would. If your priorities are so out of whack that you think that by you working all those hours so that you can provide financially for your family, and that's more important than seeing your children come to know Jesus, your priorities are out of whack. If you're so busy doing other things that God doesn't even have a place there, how are your children going to see it? How are your children going to know that it matters to you? They often say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and that's true. Behaviorisms, mannerisms, and all of that, so on and so forth. But guess what? You can change. You know, the old Chinese proverb says the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. But the second best time to plant a tree is now. Is today. Men, what is your greatest joy in your life right now? If you had a Babe Ruth signed baseball and your house burned up and you lost that baseball, would that put you in a tailspin of depression and so on and so forth? Or would you be understanding that that means absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things? What does matter is our relationship with our children. Men, you have a bigger influence than you know on your kids. Dads who have daughters, raise your hand if you're a dad who has daughters. Raise your hand if you're a dad who has daughters. I learned this a while back, but if you don't show love to your daughters, they will go and find that love somewhere else. They will go and chase that boy down until they receive the love that they think that that boy is going to give them if it doesn't come from you. They will be unhealthy in their relationships with men if you don't show them love. And just because they turn 13 years old and go through puberty and grow doesn't mean that you can't still tell your daughter you love her. It doesn't mean you can't still, when she's an adult and married, it doesn't mean you can't still tell your daughter that you love her. It doesn't mean you can't still treat her like the beautiful princess and queen that she is. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't tell her you love her, she's going to find it from somewhere else. Dads, do you know what I'm saying? You have incredible amount of influence on your daughters that the women in this room just can't play. Do they experience love and attention from you? Are you actively involved in their life? I went to a funeral service just this week, last week at Idlewild Baptist Church. One of my coworkers, her dad just passed away at 75 years old. And obviously there's tears flowing. It's hard to get through, you know, when the daughter speaks. It's hard to get through and hear what she has to say. But the one thing that stood out was that no matter how busy dad was putting fences in the ground, he never once missed an athletic event, never once missed an award ceremony, never once missed an opportunity to be there for me. And then after me, my grandkids, meaning he was there for all of those events because that's what mattered most. Dads, are you actively involved in your kids' lives? Remember, dads, we only get about 18 summers before they go off to college or work. Let's plant that tree today. How do you want your children to remember you? Ask the question. How do you want your children to remember you? Well, then to close out here, looking a little bit at God our Father. You know, we are pretty evil, wicked people, right? We just are. We just are. We're deadbeats, right? Adam and Eve, they ate the forbidden fruit. They knew not to, and they did. Noah, the earth was filled with evil. There were only 8 people that got on that ark, right? Moses struck the rock when God told him not to strike the rock, and he did it anyway, right? He told God that he can't speak when God gave him the provisions to lead the Israelites, and he says he can't speak. Peter denies Christ 3 times before the cock crows. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. David sins with Bathsheba when he should have been out at battle, and he's lusting after a woman, and David is this great, mighty warrior, man after God's own heart. Solomon had 1,000 wives. Holy cow. That ain't good. Jonah had bitterness in his heart. He didn't want God to spare and protect these other people. We're pretty evil, wicked people. But God's love is different. You know, I don't know if you've had a good relationship with your dad. I can't make that assumption. And I know in a room this size, that's probably not true for everybody. But let me tell you about the love of God. His love is unfailing. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Paul tells us in Romans 5 that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. John tells us that we're children of God. When we put our faith and trust in Him, we become children of God. How He sees us who believe and practice our faith. And God loves to give, right? And I love this passage in Matthew 7, because the beginning of the passage says, although you are evil fathers, yet you know how to give your kids good gifts. That's how it starts. But He says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? That's God's heart. He wants to give. He wants to love. And He knows what we need. Right, our Father knows what you need even before you ask to Him, or before you ask Him. And then the Scriptures tell us that He's left us with the Holy Spirit. John tells us that He's left us with the Holy Spirit, which is the seal, the advocate, the helper at the perfect time, so that we're not alone. But we have a Father who is always there for us. So for the church, for children, obey your parents. It's good for you, it's good for them, and the Lord tells us it's the best medicine and the best practice there is. Fathers, love your children. Pray for them. If you need to plant that tree today, go home and find a seed and plant that tree. Make it happen. You can teach an old dog new tricks. And the truth about God our Father is that regardless of our earthly father, we serve a loving heavenly Father. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes for just a second before I pray. Close your eyes for just a second. I want you to take a moment in your reflection. I want you to take a moment and answer this question in your mind. What do you love most about your dad? Take a moment. What do you love most about your dad? What memory sticks out the most to you of your dad? And then your homework. Tell him. If your dad is still alive, tell him. Tell him today. Call him after church, after the business meeting. Tell him today what you love about your dad. If your dad's not with us anymore, tell your spouse what you loved about your dad. If you're not married, tell your children what you loved most about your dad. If you don't have any kids, go get coffee with somebody that you know and tell them what you loved most about your dad. It would mean a lot for him to hear that from you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your grace, your love, and your mercy. God, I thank you for being a loving, unfailing Father to us. Lord, in our wickedness, in our moments of weakness, despair, Lord, you loved us with an unfailing love. And God, I thank you for my own children. And I thank you that everybody in here who has children still has opportunities to invest and pour in the lives of their children. And God, help us to be men, especially for the fathers in here, for the men in here. Help us to be men of integrity. Help us to love our wives. Help us to love our children. And help us to lead them well, pointing them as arrows to your heart. Because you loved us more than we could ever imagine or fathom. And God, I thank you again for this Father's Day, for this time to gather together. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.